Well, hello, listeners, and welcome to our lifestyle article for the month of August. We're going to be learning some tools or tips on how to make sure you don't have so much clutter in that closet of yours at home. But to join me today, I have two great panelists, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Hello, listeners. This is Simon. I'm glad to be back with you today, especially with us talking about a topic as important as this one, decluttering your life.
It is important, Simon. Hi, everyone. My name's Peter. Amanda, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on the show. Now, we are going to be learning a little bit about declutter, but before we go any further, Simon, this word, declutter.
Yeah, Amanda, it's a fake word. And I hate to admit that so early in the program, but it's a word that uses a prefix attached to a real word. So the word clutter is a real word. Clutter, of course, describes when you have so many things packed into a space that it's hard to organize them and everything just looks really crowded. D, of course, is the prefix that means like unclutter or not clutter.
Right. And here we're talking about decluttering your life. Peter, what do we mean when we say something like that?
Oh, well, I think we'll talk about that a lot today, but it's, you know, in our lives, a lot of things start to pile up, maybe actual things, but that can spill over to other parts of our lives, too. So it's not just things, but things in our lives, too.
And that's what we have there in the deck as well, ideas for bringing order to your environment, your life, and your brain. Simon, what do we mean when we say bringing order?
Well, we basically mean organizing things. So the idea here, of course, is that if your living environment, if your home or your workplace is very cluttered or crowded or packed with things, it's very hard to stay organized, both in that space, but it's also hard to keep your thoughts organized because things are scattered and disorganized all around you.
Right. And so I have a question for you both as we begin today. Do you have a lot of clutter in your life?
Oh, Amanda, hitting us with the hard questions right off the bat. Yeah, I think so. One of the things I found when I moved to Asia was obviously that living spaces are a lot smaller. And so when you live in a place like North America and you have a big house, there are rooms and rooms you can just fill with stuff and then never think about it. But that isn't so true with smaller apartments in Asia. And so I think in my life, there's kind of a constant fight against clutter.
Good. What about you, Peter?
Well, I am a traveler, and so I have moved around a lot, and that's actually helped my clutter stay down quite a bit. Every time I buy a thing, and I think we'll talk about this decision-making today, I have to think, is this going to fit in my suitcase or not? Because if it can't, I can't bring it with me. And I have to carry everything I own. So although I've picked up quite a few souvenirs along the way, which are adding up, I won't call those clutter, though. I'll call those special souvenirs.
There we go. So things that you didn't want to part with or don't want to part with.
I suppose the real question for you, Peter, is your mind cluttered if your life is not?
Oh, wow. Well, that... I think my mind's fine. you know,
that's good.
That's a day too, Simon.
Good news.
Well, I think for myself, I came to Asia with only 20, you know, kilograms of items with me. And now when I look at my life, I have so many items. And what you're saying, Peter, I think is one strategy to deal with the clutter in our lives is perhaps to move, you know, so you can take an inventory of what you actually have in your house. Sometimes I think that would be a good idea for myself. But I know we also have some great ideas listed in this article. So let's begin today's reading on page 36. Open your Advance magazine or your digital device to page 36, and let's look at the first column.
Declutter your life. Ideas for bringing order to your environment, your life, and your brain. Six super simple ways to declutter your space and life for good. You think you're a clean person. You don't leave dirty dishes in the sink? Not often. You sweep occasionally. Sometimes you even make your bed. But still the clutter piles up, and it quickly becomes so overwhelming that it's hard to know where to start. Which is why we asked professional organizers for their top tips to get rid of clutter for good. They're simple and won't leave you picking up for hours on end. 1. Nip procrastination in the bud. Procrastination is what causes clutter. Clutter is nothing more than postponed decisions. 2. Start small. Many people get discouraged because the job is just too big. Choose one drawer, take everything out, and ask yourself, what is this doing here? If you don't know the answer, the item needs a new home. 3. Ask yourself, would I buy this today? If the answer is no, throw it in the toss or donate pile. If you're upset about the money that you paid for something that you never wear, deciding to keep it in your closet won't put money back in your pocket.
All right, on this first day, we learned 6 super simple ways to declutter your space and life for good. Now, we open the first paragraph with this statement, you think you're a clean person. Well, gentlemen, I want to ask you, do you think you're clean people?
Yeah, but I'm still cluttered. And that's really what they're talking about here, right? They give some examples. They say you don't leave dirty dishes in the sink, hopefully not for too long anyway. You sweep occasionally, and sometimes you make your bed. So you're a fairly clean person, right? But nonetheless, clutter piles up, and I think that's really the important part about this article.
Right. So we're making a distinction between being clean hygienically and having a lot of things in your house.
Yeah, and so when I first thought about this, I was, oh yeah, I'm organized, I'm fairly clean. But then this does describe me, because I have fairly good habits, but at the same time, all of a sudden, you know, these things start piling up and, you know, the table starts to get covered with various things from the week. And, you know, by the weekend, you're cleaning the whole house and you're like, I thought I was clean. I was doing pretty well.
Right. And it says in the next sentence, it quickly becomes so overwhelming that it's hard to know where to start. Now, I can relate to this. Peter, you're talking about the table getting many things on it as the week goes on. And I have that a lot. By the time Friday comes around, I think, where did all this stuff come from and where am I going to put it?
Yeah, and I think, to be honest, I think when the clutter really sets in heavily is when you sort of have your own house, because then you start to get things like appliances. So, for example, a water heater or a blender, things like that. And those things, they come with boxes and, of course, a lot of paperwork. And you kind of want to keep it in case something goes wrong with the appliance, right?
Right.
So you end up with a room full of boxes for things like blenders that are just kind of empty boxes stacked up. And that is clutter.
Yes, actually, I have one room in my house where that is the case. There are boxes in there. I open the door, I become so overwhelmed, I close the door again.
Well, I actually like this word, overwhelming. I was trying to look up the Chinese for this word, and because I wanted to use it for a situation, and I still haven't quite found a satisfying answer. So I think in English, we use this word a lot. It means, you know, kind of a situation is something you just can't handle or bear. Mm. And so we would just call that situation overwhelming.
And that's what you're talking about, Amanda, right? Close the door because you just can't think about it right now. You're
right.
Overwhelmed.
I look at it and I think, where am I going to start? It's hard to know where to start, it says here in the article, which is why we ask professional organizers for their top tips to get rid of clutter for good. And I like that idea because I can start and then often it will just return to the way it was before. I'm not actually getting to get rid of everything that I have in my house, or the things that really need to go. So these tips are simple and won't leave you picking up for hours on end. What do we mean by that phrase, for hours on end, Simon?
Well, it just literally means for hours and hours and hours. So
right.
You're working on something for a very long time, for
right.
hours on end.
Okay, good. Now, what's our first tip for today, Peter?
Tip number one is nip procrastination in the bud.
What does that mean?
Well, procrastination, ooh, that is dangerous. This is when we need to do something, but we feel like we should just put it off. We don't want to do it, so we say, I will do that later. And then when later comes, we say, I will do it later still. And when later still comes, we still don't want to do it. So it just means putting things off.
And what do we mean when we say to nip something in the bud?
Well, it's a phrase that it kind of comes from plants. When you picture a small plant growing, we say it has a bud. That's when the plant is first coming out. And the idea here is that if you nip the bud, it means you cut it off before it has a chance to grow. And so nipping something in the bud means stopping it before it has a chance to really develop or grow into a big problem.
Good. Okay. So we go on to see a phrase here, or a quote here from Lori Martin. She is from Simplicity Organizers, and that's a blog about being organized in your home. She says, procrastination is what causes clutter. Clutter is nothing more than postponed decisions. What do we mean by postponed decisions, Peter?
That means procrastination, right? Anything postponed is delayed, put at a later time.
Right. And Simon, do you agree with this statement?
I think so, because, for example, when we were talking earlier about boxes from appliances, right? You mm-hmm. keep these boxes, but really after you've used the appliance for a month or so, you're not going to take it back to the store. And so there's no need to keep the box, but you kind of avoid making the decision to throw that out. And so, yeah, I think this is true. Clutter really comes from avoiding making decisions.
Yeah, and the decision usually is use it in a smart way or throw it out. But when you leave it on the dining room table, you're not using it and you're not throwing it out. So you're procrastinating or postponing that decision of, oh, what do I want to do with it?
Right. Well, it could also be a decision. You know, there's a phrase we use in English. We say out of sight, out of mind. And what that really means is when you put something somewhere you can't see it, you don't think about it so you can avoid doing anything about it. And I think that's probably more my case. I come home from work, I'm tired, and so the decision I make is to not take those boxes out to the recycling, right?
Right. Yeah, I think for me it's always in the back of my mind, I think perhaps I will use this in the future. What if I'm going to move to a different location? Then I'm going to need the box to put it in to protect the item. But really, I haven't moved in the last 5 years. And I don't have a plan to move soon, so why do I still have it? Well, what about tip number two, Simon?
Well, it says start small. And I think that is also an important point here. It goes on to basically say that we get discouraged, we give up because it seems that the job is just too big, right? It's a whole room full of boxes. And so the idea here is if you start one box at a time, the problem becomes much more manageable, much easier to deal with.
Right, and I think this is my problem. It seems too big to even get started. But what does the Rachel Segal, what does she advise people to do here, Peter?
Yeah, well, she says just start with one drawer, take everything out, and ask yourself, what is it doing here? Mm-hmm. So she's saying just pick one problem area. You know, we have lots of drawers. We throw our things in, like Simon said, out of sight, out of mind. So instead of cleaning your whole bedroom all at once, because, you know, we don't really have time for that unless it's, you know, the weekend or something like that.
Right.
Just choose one small problem and deal with those choices. Don't postpone those decisions. Make the decision right there. And, you know, again, this is going back to my favorite word of the day, overwhelming. Because if you deal with the whole problem, it overwhelms you. But if you take a small problem and deal with that, you won't get overwhelmed and you won't procrastinate.
Right, good. Well, she says if you ask that question, what is it doing here? If you don't know the answer, what does she suggest you do, Simon?
Well, she says you need to find a new place to put that thing. If it doesn't belong in the drawer, it needs a new home, and that really just means a new place to be put,
right,
whether it's in the garbage can or the recycling bin or a different drawer.
Exactly, or give it away to someone you know may need it or would like it. Then you can do that, too. Okay, Peter, what is tip number 3?
All right. Ask yourself, would I buy this today? I think this is great. So if you look at some item you have, maybe when you were walking along the street, you saw it, oh, I have to buy it. And it's been sitting in your house for 5 years, and now you see it, and you go, what is this doing here? If the answer is no, I would not buy it today, then get rid of it. It doesn't have value anymore. So either throw it away or donate it.
Well, it says it has an interesting phrase here. Throw it in the toss or donate pile. What is that, Simon?
I think that's a reference to this idea you sometimes hear from declutter people.
Right.
They talk about setting up different piles when you are sorting your stuff. So, for example, they'll say when you pour that drawer out from point number 2, you would sort the things into 3 piles. One, keep it. One, throw it out. One, donate it. I suppose you could also have a pile for recycling or something like that. But it basically helps you decide how to get rid of your stuff.
Right, and she even, well, Jenny Aaron here, she even addresses the emotion you may feel as you're deciding whether to keep an item or not. She says, if you are upset about the money that you paid for something that you never wear, deciding to keep it in your closet won't put money back in your pocket. So to keep that in mind when you're looking at that piece of clothing that you bought but never wore it, well, it's not going to bring the money back to you, so be wise about those decisions as well. Well, we're learning some good tips here, but let's go on to our next reading to learn some more.
Four, don't worry about perfection. I remember wanting my home to be like the pages of a magazine. I thought if things were perfect, I would be more inclined to maintain order. Forget about perfection and take a hard look at what and where things are piling up and causing clutter. 5. Stop feeling obligated to keep things. Just because mom gave you a gift, passed on a family treasure, or showed up with a giant box of your old school papers doesn't mean you have to hang on to them. All of those items retained out of guilt end up filling your valuable storage and weighing you down. 6. Keep only what you can store. Clothing should fit into closets and dressers. Make sure cleaning and toiletry supplies can fit into your cabinets or closets. If there isn't room, review what is stored and purge excess by discarding things that are expired or worn.
Okay, if you're just joining the show, then welcome, listeners, to you. And we're learning how to declutter your life, especially on day one here. We're learning how to declutter the things that you may be keeping or finding difficult to part with. We're learning 6 super simple ways to declutter your space and life for good. We've already been learning 3 different tips on how to do that. And now we're coming to number 4. Don't worry about perfection. Simon, why would we be worrying about perfection?
I think the main reason is that when you have your own house, you can find yourself under a lot of pressure. You know, all it takes is visiting a friend's house and realizing that your friend's house is absolutely perfect. You know, there's no dirt anywhere. Everything is beautifully decorated and designed. And it puts you under a lot of pressure to feel like maybe your house should also be perfect. beautifully designed, beautifully organized, perfectly clean, all of those things.
And that's exactly what Shara here is talking about. I remember wanting my home to be like the pages of a magazine. I thought if things were perfect, I would be more inclined to maintain order. Peter, what do we mean here, to be more inclined to do something?
That just means you're more likely to do something. So if you're worried about perfection, you're not inclined to actually tackle the situation, because if it's not perfect, give up now. And so this tip is saying, don't worry about perfection. Just, don't let the situation overwhelm you. Start small. Just start organizing.
Good. Now, it actually has a phrase here, take a hard look at what and where things are piling up and causing clutter. Simon, when we say take a hard look at something, what are we meaning?
It means we need to look at things while we're thinking about them. So we look at things and maybe analyze what's going on. So, for example, in my house, this is maybe sharing too much personal information on the radio, but when I come in the evening, there's sort of a counter next to the door. And if I look at the room, chances are that that counter is where most of the clutter is, because you just dump things when you come in, and very quickly you end up with a cluttered area. And so that's the idea. You look around the room, you see where things are becoming cluttered and what kinds of things are becoming cluttered there, and then maybe you focus on that.
Right. Okay, so this tip is saying don't worry about perfection. Just look where you can start and get started. Well, number five is something that often we find if we have been given gifts, we feel obligated to keep these things. Now, here at number five, the tip is to stop feeling obligated to keep things. Peter, what does the word obligated mean?
Okay, so this is when you feel like you should do something.
Right, and that is one of our vocabulary-focused words. And Sarah Skillen from Skillset Organizing has this to say about it. What does she say, Simon?
Well, she basically says that just because your mother gave you a gift or a family treasure or maybe some of your old things doesn't mean you have to keep them.
That's right, and this has actually happened to me often when I go back to my home country, New Zealand. My mom has a box ready for me to go through and see, is there still anything that I would like to get rid of from my old school papers or treasures from the past? And I've actually managed to get it down to quite a small box now. Do you gentlemen have the same problem?
Yeah, I feel like I'm down to a very small space at my parents' house, but they think that space is still too large. Because every time I go back, I have the same thing. Sort this box.
Yes, same problem here. Yep, exact same situation.
I'm already down to the absolutely necessary treasures, though, so I don't know, you know.
Yeah, and I think this tip is more talking about the things that we're not attached to. So those are objects we don't feel obligated to keep. We want them.
Yes.
But it's all those other gifts that you feel like, I don't want this, but I feel obligated to keep it. And these tips, you know, four and five, start spilling over into our personalities and our emotions. Mm. It's not just about the stuff in our house, but how do we deal with these situations? And I think some people don't have a problem emotionally detaching themselves from gifts.
Right.
And other people have a really hard time because they care about the person more than that thing.
Right. And it's interesting, it says all of those items retained out of guilt, just like you were saying, Peter. The emotion here is keeping something, retaining something because you feel guilty to give it away to somebody else or to, you know, not hang on to it. Well, it says it ends up filling your valuable storage. So a place where you could use it for other items and weighing you down. Simon, what does that phrase mean?
Well, when something weighs you down, it means it worries you or it holds you back in some way. And so I guess the idea here is that when you're keeping all of these things from your past, it's basically holding you back, keeping you from moving forward.
Mm. And I like these two phrases it really paints a good picture of obligation as hang on to, way down. And it's almost like these things are attaching to you, to yourself, and kind of pulling you, and you just can't escape it.
Right. Okay, well, this is great. It's leading us to number six. And the tip here is keep only what you can store. Annette Raymond says, clothing should fit into closets and dressers. Make sure cleaning and toiletry supplies can fit into your cabinets or closets. If there isn't room, review what is stored and purge excess by discarding things that are expired or worn. What do we mean here by purging excess, Simon?
Purge just means get rid of extra things. Purging, excess. Purge is get rid of. Excess means more than you need or extra.
Good. And what do we mean here by expired or worn, Peter?
Okay, so expired is usually, you know, like food has a date on it. Mm. And if it's past that date, then it is expired. But expired can also just mean anything that's not, it's beyond its use. And then worn is, we know the word wear, and so when things are worn, it's kind of been used so much that it's not useful anymore.
Great, yes. Well, listeners, we've had six great different tips for you to use and perhaps put into practice to help you declutter your home. We hope that you've learned something different here. Gentlemen, have you learned something new today?
I have learned a little bit, but more than that, I have been motivated to go home and get rid of my clutter.
Great. Peter, what about you?
Yeah, I think I've heard these tips before, but I need to hear them again. And I think, you know, we all have different strategies for our lives, but this is motivating me as well to get home and declutter my life.
Well, listeners, we hope that this has also motivated you. If you do, and it has done that for you, perhaps you can share that with us on our Facebook page or online. Make sure that you check out those that Facebook page and also online at studioclassroom.com. And check out our QR code in the top left-hand corner for our Topic Talks videos. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but we thank you for joining us. This is Amanda,
Simon,
and Peter
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.